Thank you. Oh, there we go. We got that. It is awesome to be back with you all. Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Come to me and never be hungry.
Believe in me and never be thirsty.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
His praise shall continually be on our lips.
It is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, I therefore declare, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Pray with me. Gracious God, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Give us this bread always, that he may live in us and we in him, and be strengthened by this food. We may live as his body in the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated.
I forgot my glasses today. The first reading is from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. But Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank, then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 34 responsively with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord, but the humble hear and repent.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Look to him and be radiant. so your faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor soul cried, was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him.
The second reading is from Ephesians, the 4th and 5th chapters. Chapter 4. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up their stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. From chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
I'm going to skip back a few verses so you won't see it on there for, like three sentences. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'Now, I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. I don't even know why I say that. Every time I say it, you're already in your seats. Why are you all looking at me? Jeez. Sir, give us this bread always. I have to ask, are these the words of those we find gathered around Jesus? Those who are struggling to figure out exactly what it is when Jesus says, true bread from heaven, the bread of God. What does that really mean? Or is this our automatic response that we give to the waiter at Olive Garden when asked, more breadsticks? Oh, that was the punchline. You're supposed to laugh. Sir, give us this bread always, we say, when asked more breadsticks. When we say this, we know exactly what we're asking for. We're asking for another basket of breadsticks so we can eat two of them now that we don't need, and so we can put the rest of them in our to-go box. I mean, they call it never-ending breadsticks for a reason, and we will make sure that this bread rains down from heaven until the buttons are literally popping off of our shirts. Give us this bread always, we say to the waiter. But those we find gathered around Jesus, what are they asking for? Sir, give us this bread always, they say. I think this is a bit more complicated. At first, I think they're asking for exactly what we are. They want more bread. You see, only a night before, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there was a crowd of 5,000 people gathered around Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus wonders aloud to his disciples, kind of messing with them just a little bit to see what they'll say. Where should we buy bread for all these people? And Philip, he's like, well, there's an Olive Garden over there, but, for 5,000 people, that's we can't afford that many breadsticks. And Andrew's like, well, I know it's not much, but there's a little kid over there, and he's got an Olive Garden to-go box, and he's got 5 breadsticks and a little bit of leftover chicken parm. And Jesus is like, you know what? I can make it work. That'll do. And he proceeds to preside over a never-ending breadstick dinner with a little chicken parm, the likes of which this world has never seen. So from those 5 breadsticks and a little chicken parm, all are satisfied, and the disciples still collect 12 baskets, leftovers for the 5,000 to take home with them in little boxes. This miraculous feeding is called a sign in John's gospel, and it leaves the people literally hungering for more breadsticks. But Jesus seems to have escaped. Somehow during the night, he walked across the Sea of Galilee, got into a boat, and he escaped. But these hordes of people, of course, they are looking for him, and they find Jesus in Capernaum, where he tells them, you're not looking for me because you saw me perform signs. No, you're here because you ate your fill of breadsticks last night. That's right, those carbs only kept them full for a little while. They ate through the leftovers, and now they need no more never-ending breadsticks. Stat. And Jesus, well, he is the giver of the never-ending breadsticks. Sir, they plead with Jesus, give us this bread always, as we tell the waiter. But then Jesus explains, even never-ending breadsticks end. See, you're hungry again. Why do you work for that which perishes? My Father in heaven gives you true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people are like, whoa, we want this bread. Sir, give us this bread always. And then Jesus says something that had to be very confusing to them. I think it's still a little confusing to us. But he says, you know what? I'm not the Olive Garden waiter. I'm not the guy that brings more breadsticks. I am the never-ending breadstick. Come on. Nothing? Just little chuckles? I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Now, I want you to know that this I am is not an accident. I am. God's answer to Moses from the burning bush. Tell them that I am sent you. The name that God gives to God's very self. I am. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, Jesus is alluding to his divine nature. I don't know if you heard me emphasize it when I was reading the gospel, but there were at least three I ams in there. I am the never-ending breadstick, says Jesus. I am the bread of life. And when you come to me, when you believe in me, you enter into a relationship with me, a relationship with the divine being. This will never end. You will never again hunger and never again thirst. I, God, will sustain you now and forevermore. And then Jesus drops this on those who are gathered. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. And he immediately follows it with another I am. I am. I am the bread of life. Believe in me. Believe in me. And you will have. Eternal life. We think we know what that means, don't we? Show up, there's clouds, there's a gate, you walk in, hopefully, right? But I think it's helpful to skip ahead for a moment to John 17, verse 3. This comes during Jesus' farewell discourse, the night on which he is betrayed, the night that he washes his disciples' feet, right? This comes the night before Jesus dies. He says to his disciples, and this is eternal life. And this is eternal life, that you know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who has been sent by the Father. That you know God. Eternal life is knowing God. Knowing, in the biblical sense, is being in a relationship with, abiding with, in this case, God. Knowing and being in relationship and abiding with God forever, for eternity, eternally. This is the invitation Jesus gives to those gathered around him and to us here today. Come to the table where the main course isn't fettuccine alfredo and chicken parm, but breadsticks. But not breadsticks that make you full and leave you hungry an hour later, but the never-ending breadstick of life, Jesus Christ. We come to the table to be in relationship with Jesus, who is the bread of life. How many people here actually go to Olive Garden? Yeah, some. How about Red Lobster? You get their little cheddar biscuits, right? Hopefully the one closest to us doesn't, they went bankrupt. Hopefully that one stays open because we love those cheddar biscuits. We love going to the places that they give you the free bread ahead of time, right? So when you go to the Olive Garden or Red Lobster or wherever it is that you go out to eat, who do you usually gather with? Who is at that table with you? Family. Friends. All right. So it's usually people that you enjoy spending time with, right? And Uncle Doug. People, family, friends, and Uncle Doug. But same with other people, right? They go out for a meal. They want to spend time with family and friends and apparently Uncle Doug. And they feel comfortable. They want to be with people they feel comfortable being around, just like we do. So here's what's so beautiful and so difficult, all at the same time, about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's for everybody. Ugh, gross. Jesus invites all people. Let me say that again. Jesus invites all people to gather around the table, to be in relationship with him and therefore with all of the other people who are gathered around that table. Or not gathered around that table. So we're at the Olive Garden, right? And we see those people walk in. Oh no, I hate those people. We all have our own conception of who those people are, don't we? We all have our own those people, the people that we hope walk right on by and don't see us and ignore us, and we ignore them. We know they're there. They know we're there, but we want them to walk on by. But guess what? We have Jesus at our table, and Jesus always wants to invite everybody to the table, and he's like, hey, hey, I know you. Come on over here. And they're like, they walk up, and we're just sitting there, and we're kind of squirming around in our chairs, right? And we're like, oh, my gosh, are they really going to sit down? And Jesus is like, we got plenty of food. Did you hear they have never-ending breadsticks here? Pull up a chair. But don't worry. Don't worry. Those people, they don't really want to sit with us either, right? The people that Jesus invited over, they take one look at us Christians. They see that we're squirming around in our chairs. We're looking a little bit less than inviting. Maybe they see through those, we put those fake smiles on. They see through those smiles down to our derision that we hold. And they say, thanks, but no thanks, Jesus, because if this is the company you're keeping, I'm not sure I want to sit down at this table with you. I'm not sure that I want to be in relationship with you, Jesus, eternal or otherwise. I'm out. And I know this might sound harsh. It sounds harsh. But I will keep going with this bad news for us Christians. Studies and surveys over the past few decades, continue to show that Americans, particularly in my generation, and those younger than me, I see one back there, they are rejecting Jesus. They are saying they don't want to be in relationship with Jesus because of us. Ooch, that hurts. Because of those who are sitting around the table with Jesus. So I brought this book with me today that I just started reading. It's called Unchristian. It's actually it's fairly old, but it's still very relevant. The author of this book is David Kinnaman. He's a researcher, and he is a Christian. And he, with all of the studies he's done for this book, interviewing thousands of people, lots of different surveys, he says this: those outside of Christianity reject Jesus because they feel rejected by Christians. In other words, Jesus is shouting, come to the table, all are welcome. And we're like, yeah, but not you. I should note that this title, Unchristian, that doesn't refer to those outside of Christianity, by the way. That refers to us, Christians. Of the thousands of interviews I mentioned, Kinnaman felt that this statement of an outsider was worthy of being written into this book. This outsider said this about Christianity. Christianity has become marketed and streamlined into a juggernaut of fear-mongering. Fear-mongering. That has lost its own heart. And the idea of fear-mongering associated with Jesus Christ makes me so sad. I think the fear-mongering that is referred to is this: if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, especially if you don't believe in Jesus Christ the way I think you should believe in Jesus Christ, then you are going to hell for all of eternity. And I know I've never been to hell, but I hear it's really hot there, so you should probably get on board with this Jesus Christ. And those Ten Commandments, those ones that we want to post everywhere and tell everyone else to live by, you know, the ones that we don't actually live by ourselves? Hence Jesus Christ. Well, if you don't live by those, then also hell. And I hear it's really hot, so you better get on board and live like we say you should live. This is fear-mongering. This is fear-mongering in the name of Jesus Christ. So what are we to do? Yes, I know we're Lutheran, but there is work. There is a lot of work for us to do here. First, I think we must understand what we're up against. We must open our eyes wide. So I'm going to finish this book. I'm going to finish this book, and if I think it's worthwhile, I will introduce it to you more fully, maybe as the focus of a book study that I will invite you to. Also, the name is Unchristian. You can go buy it for $8 on Amazon. Not that I love Amazon, but you can go buy it for like $8 if you want to read it ahead of me. I think it's an important for us to understand. Second, introspection. What do we do? What do we say? What do we not do? What do we not say that causes those outside of Christianity to reject being in relationship with Jesus Christ? To not sit at the table because of us un-Christians. Third, and I think this is the most important thing that we can do as Christians, stop fear-mongering in the name of Jesus Christ already. And proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. A few months ago, I wrote a pondering about my disdain for these fear-mongering billboards. If you die tomorrow, where are you going? Implying either heaven or hell, right? And then they give you a number to call. Now, I guarantee you that if we made a billboard... Anyone wants to fund it, let me know. If we made a billboard that says, Jesus Christ is the never-ending breadstick, find out more, and then put a number to call, we would get more phone calls. Why? Because it sounds ridiculous. And second, it makes people curious about Christianity and the good news of Jesus Christ. It welcomes, it invites. People love breadsticks. We are inviting them to be curious about the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Good news or not, I don't know. Depends on the day, probably, how you're acting at the time. We are walking billboards for Jesus Christ. So what message is scrawled across you? What do we proclaim in word and deed as we are out in this world? Are we fear-mongering and condemning, or are we inviting? Probably depends on the day. I'm not suggesting that we don't need to hear the law proclaimed. I'm not suggesting the Ten Commandments aren't important. In fact, this sermon, I would say, has been pretty law-heavy. You're all looking at me like, oh, well, welcome back, Sean. Thanks. But with outsiders, with those outside of the church, start with invitation. Because when people are absent from the table, conversations cannot be had. We don't get to know them, and they don't get to know us, and even worse, they are kept from being in relationship with Jesus Christ. We remain caricatures and stereotypes to one another. It must start with invitation, with the good news. Good news that makes people curious and want to know more about this man, Jesus. Say to someone, I dare you to say to someone this week, I dare you to say it, Jesus is the never-ending breadstick. Come eat with us. Just one of you. I want one of you to do it. Let me know what happens. Please, please do it. This is an invitation, and this is the good news. This is the good news that we know to be true deep down in our bones, deep down in our souls. It penetrates our very being. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He sustains us now in this life, and through this relationship with Him, we will be sustained forevermore. When we sit at the table, when we partake in the bread that is Jesus Christ, when we experience the hope that comes only through Jesus Christ, I know that you have experienced this hope, the hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. We are proclaiming with all at the table, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus will say to us, each and every time we ask, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever abides in me will have eternal life. See, we are invited. We are invited by Jesus to pull up a chair for those that are not at this table so that they too can receive this good news and say together with us, Sir, give us this bread always. And I promise you that there is always enough bread at that table. For that, what else can I say? Then thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Ben's better after 2 weeks. Now Andrew and Andrea are under the weather, so please keep my family in your prayers as well. Let us pray. Calling on the Spirit of wisdom to guide our hearts and minds, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need.
Your Son, Jesus, is the living bread from heaven. This sustains us and brings us to you. While on our earthly pilgrimage, you feed us with the bread from this earth. We give you thanks for providing our daily bread and for all who labor to bring food from the fields to our tables, farmers and migrant workers, those working in industries that process foods, truckers and mechanics, store clerks and those who stock shelves, chefs and cooks, dishwashers, those who wait tables and others in the food service industry. Those who donate to and work in food banks, and all the other unnamed and unnoticed people who work to feed the hungry mouths on this earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Guard our leaders and nations with the spirit of justice and mercy. We continue to pray that tensions in the Middle East may be calmed by those you have appointed as peacekeepers, that war and violence may cease. Allow daily bread to safely reach and be distributed to the hungry and malnourished in this and all war-torn places and all other places where there are hungry mouths to feed. Here in this nation, as tensions rise with the nearing election and ever-changing political landscape, keep us safe from violence and idolatry. Let no evil come out of our mouths, but rather let us extend grace. Remind us that Jesus commands us to pray for our enemies. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Sustain feeding ministries and organizations such as the ELCA World Hunger and our local food pantries, especially the Cooperative Christian Services of Galleon. Provide for this ecumenical ministry as it transitions to First Lutheran, and encourage us to seek new and exciting ways to engage this partnership, that together we may better serve the needs of our community. We work and pray for a day when hunger is no more. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We pray for this congregation and all and for all who are gathered. Be present among anyone who could not be with us today. Be with all who are hurting, grieving, or ill. This day we specially lift to you Stephanie and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, for Jill Murphy, for Bobby Rickridge, for the family and friends of Jim Miller, for Annabelle Carlson, for Steve Milligan, for Andrew, for Andrea, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We remember this day and always the saints who have gone before us in faith, especially those that we lift up now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Trusting in the promise of the resurrection, we find hope in your communion of saints of all times and all places. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We lift up these prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them into your holy keeping. Let all God's people say,
Amen.
And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Let at this time we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. And I invite you for coffee back there after the church, after church. And I forgot the breadsticks.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we say, Amen.
In the name, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taste and see that our Lord is good. Happy are those who come to this table where all are always welcome and all can come to take refuge in him.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Pray with me. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, if I didn't write all of my sermons on Friday into Saturday, we would have had breadsticks for communion today. Of the Olive Garden variety, of course, with extra garlic. Let us see here. So, CCSG Food Pantry, first of all, thank you all. I think this was the second week that it was here. I was here this week, both of the times when it was open, and we had people coming in, and it was just great to see the flow of people coming in to utilize this ministry. So there are a list of needs that they've provided, and then there's a box right out there if you feel so inclined to help donate to that. So what I was told is they will give out family boxes and two-people boxes and one-people boxes. And in those boxes are varying amounts, depending on how many people, of all of the items that you see listed there. So those are their most commonly given out items. So those are the ones that they've asked for that are in your bulletin. I'm not going to read all of them, but if you feel so inclined, please bring something in and donate it into that box there, and they will make sure that it gets up into the food pantry. So again, thank you for everyone who helped to make that happen and make that transition so seamless. I don't think that there was a day that they had to shut down and not serve their clients. So thank you all for all of your help for opening this space up for them to use. That is awesome. And then for our noisy offering this month, it is going to the Zen Den for Galleon Local School District for, I think, like third through fifth graders or fourth through sixth, somewhere in that age range. It is to provide sensory toys for an area if children need a place to go to calm themselves down. These are the toys that those at the school district have asked for to help, that are known to help provide that calming effect. So with that noisy offering, we will either give to them or purchase items from their wish list on Amazon to go towards that. So please consider donating to that as well with our noisy offering. Bible study continues at St. Paul on Wednesdays at 3:00. Any other announcements this morning? Other than everybody's hungry to go get some bread. All right. Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
From your troubles, he will set you free.
So come, taste and see the Lord's goodness.
And then go and proclaim this good news.